AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Rocket Mortgage.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper in Chicago on Capitol Hill earlier. A standing ovation for the president of Ukraine, who was on the front lines of his country's war with Russia just yesterday. In his appearance before a joint meeting of Congress, Volodymyr Zelensky tells U.S. lawmakers,
"It's a great honor for me to be at the U.S. Congress and speak to you and all Americans. Against all odds and doom and gloom scenarios, Ukraine didn't fall. Ukraine is alive and kicking."
His visit was aimed at reinvigorating support for Ukraine. The latest U.S. aid includes a Patriot surface-to-air missile battery. Forecasters predict an onslaught of heavy snow, ice, flooding, plunging temperatures, and even tornadoes in much of the lower 48 from tomorrow to Saturday. Jennifer Tobey is head of Elkhart County, Indiana Emergency Management.
"We need to take this serious. The black ice, the blizzard conditions, the low temperatures, the high wind factors, then the snow to follow. This definitely is a serious moment, and I just beg everybody to be prepared."
Over 100 million Americans are expected to travel for the holidays, but the bad weather could cause delays at the airports. Andra Molina in Miami has already run into problems.
"Because of delays and some hiccups in the Miami airport as well, I ended up being 2 hours late, so I missed my connecting flight to Nashville. Been up all night."
The Biden administration says it will release flu medication from America's strategic national stockpile. CBS's Stephen Portnoy has more.
The administration's move will make the antiviral drug Tamiflu more available as flu cases remain high across the country. Some of the doses that will be sent to states have been in the strategic stockpile for more than a decade, but the FDA says the drug can safely hold on shelves for 20 years. There have been questions about the effectiveness of Tamiflu. It cannot prevent flu transmission, but if taken early enough, the drug has been shown to cut symptoms short by about a day.
FTX founder Sam Bankman-Fried is being extradited from the Bahamas by U.S. law enforcement to answer charges tied to his role in the cryptocurrency exchange failure. He's expected to appear in a federal court in Manhattan tomorrow. Also, the Associated Press reports that, according to a federal prosecutor, two associates of Bankman-Fried have pleaded guilty to criminal charges in cooperation deals related to the collapse of FTX. U.S. home sales fell in November, the 10th consecutive month. This is CBS News.
This hour's newscast is presented by Rocket Mortgage. Need to know what it takes for a home loan to fit your budget and your family?
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
We have a full hour with Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley.
Yes, thank you for having me. So glad to be in studio.
Listen Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. for As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
You know, whether you're a Democrat or Republican, whether you are a union member or business owner, picking up your garbage has no partisan lines. Making sure people can get to and from work shouldn't have partisan lines.
Listen to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry right here on The Shaw.
Over the years, you've really kept up with the times. You're on social media.
Like, dislike, block.
Maintained your health.
10,000 steps. I'm a beast.
You even programmed your own smart home.
In 10 minutes, remind me that I'm a genius.
In 10 minutes, I'll remind you that you're a genius.
If you can do all that, you can definitely save for retirement. Just go to aceyourretirement.org, a free online tool sponsored by AARP that can help you get on track with your retirement savings no matter your age. At aceyourretirement.org, you'll meet Avo, the friendly digital retirement coach, and in just 3 minutes, get personalized recommendations to help boost your retirement savings. They're easy to understand and work with your lifestyle. It's quick, easy, and free. Plus, it's brought to you by AARP, so you know they got your back.
You are a genius.
Take charge of your retirement. Go to aceyourretirement.org now. That's aceyourretirement.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
You're looking for real one. We have to really understand how critically important a time this is. Time for talk is over. The time for action is now. Because my voice has always been and will continue to be for people who don't have a voice.
Tune in to The Earl Ingram Show every Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. Only on WAUK 540 AM, 101.1 FM, The Shaw.
Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian.
I'm really trying hard not to go insane from the mind screw that is this situation. Yes. With I was going to say the GAB, but now it's the WEC, which is audited by the LAB, and then it's now screwed up by the GOP, and we're all SOL. Good for us. Congratulations.
Look at all those acronyms. Yeah.
We're the winners.
Tune in for Dueling Tangents every weekday at 2.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media. To learn more, go to our website, civicmedia.us.
Because people love scavenger hunts. And some of the apps have been really popular. And it also just gives people a reason to get out and explore. Because you actually... I mean, you could just sit down and read it, but it's actually a lot more fun and it's easier to find the clues, answers to the clues, if you actually walk the different neighborhoods.
So then someone who is a lifestyle journalist, you've written a lot about Milwaukee. In approaching this project, how much did you already know and how much did you have to go research?
Yeah, a little bit of both. I mean, I knew quite a bit about specific areas that I had lived and worked in. So East Side, downtown, Third Ward, Bayview. But like so much has happened since then, or like Menominee Valley, for instance, there's so much that's changing there. And so I did really just kind of start from scratch in every different neighborhood. So I would just go into the neighborhood with a camera, and sometimes I had to drag my kids along, but they were okay with it. And we would just explore it, and we would find different things that were interesting. And then, once I got home and I compiled all these things, then I had to figure out how do I rhyme this stuff?
that's my other question hard. Is like, are you a poet? And we didn't know it.
Oh, this is what you did there?
I am not, but you know what? Everybody has a little creative bone in their body that I guess hasn't been exercised. And I found mine doing this book. So it was really fun. Obviously, I had the help of the internet, which was really nice.
I was going to ask that. I was like, was there any websites that you're like, what rhymes with ball?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, there's something on the internet for everything, right? Rhymezone.com was my savior. But it was, like I said, it was a fun, departure from what I normally do. Whereas, it's not just the research part was obviously very much part of what I do with journalism, but then, the actual rhyming, it was fun.
That's so fun.
It was hard.
So what were of the new things you discovered in writing the book? What are your like top five new things that you would recommend?
Hard question.
Okay.
I know. There's so much. I really liked, they might not be new things, but they were new to me. I really liked, as I mentioned, what was happening in Menominee Valley. There's this design district on 16th Street. If you go to, they're kind of rebranding it, kind of like they're doing that arts district on West Wisconsin Avenue, which is great. Like people love names and good marketing, right? Mm-hmm. So it gets people to those places too. So it gets people to those places to experience all that there is to offer beyond, just the Bradley Symphony Center or just like BBC Lighting is on 16th Street. It's been there forever. But now there's all these other different places that, you can go to Backman Furniture, and there's all these different places that you can go if you're looking to design a home. So that's a really fun area, which I love. Let me see what else.
Jenna, can I just say BBC Lighting, I could hang out in there for like hours.
I've never been there.
It's
beautiful.
It's beautiful. It's fantastic. And they have the most knowledgeable electricians in the, I've taken like old ancient lamps to them, and they can rewire them and fix them up like new. That place is awesome.
Yeah. And they have popcorn sometimes.
Yes,
take that Costco hot dog.
Whoa, Kristen.
A little tidbit, I know.
So then you also have a contest happening around the book right now, right? Is that still going?
Yes. So it's still going through the end of the year. So please take advantage. You have a great opportunity to win a $250 gift card to Sendix and then a annual family membership to the public museum.
Oh, so where can people?
Yeah,
go ahead.
Yeah, sorry, mkescavenger.com/contest. And so all you have to do is enter in the answers to your clues, to the clues, because there's no answer key in the book. So you have to guess. And if you, the person with the highest amount of correct answers wins.
Ooh.
Yeah, and they're all broken down into neighborhoods. So say you want to like get out there and research, you can do a couple neighborhoods at a time and then come back to your computer and then enter in the answers and then take a break and then go back to it. So you don't have to answer in all your answers all at once.
I wonder how, having only lived in Milwaukee for 3 years, I wonder how well I could actually do.
Yeah.
I feel like I have to do the scavenger hunt to learn more.
The moment I heard contest, I saw the gears turning for you.
Yeah. See, people love contest too.
I'm slightly competitive. I think that's what it comes to.
Okay. Slightly. Hilarious. Go on.
Go ahead.
Here's the other cool thing in the book. There's like little lines that you can write in your answers too. So you can use it as like a little workbook if you want. Or, you know, you can use it as trivia when you have friends over for cocktails.
For cocktails. There you go. So what, then what's the next project? What's moving on from the scavenger hunt? Yeah. What's next?
I don't know. I really haven't thought about it yet. We have so much going on in our lives. I love the magazine work that I do. My husband and I actually also own some venues downtown in Milwaukee and Walker's Point.
What? Did you fun story.
I'm a venue owner in Walker's Point. Go on.
So fun story.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
When Jen and I first connected and she was saying, you know, if you want to, I just published this book. It's so fun. And I was like, oh, great. And then we made the connection that our husbands are friends and that Mike and I had our engagement party at the Ivy House, which is one of the venues.
Fantastic.
Which is, I cannot say enough about the Ivy House and what a beautiful venue it is for a wedding or a party or whatever. It's the staff is so fun. The space is gorgeous. And now we're connected. Small walking, baby.
Nice.
Yes, for sure. I love Walker's Point. I think it's one of my favorite neighborhoods too.
It's very beautiful.
So yes, I do have a little fun project. It's not official yet, but I'll give you guys the first taste. I will be working at the Milwaukee Athletic Club for a year as a residency, as one of their Mac makers. So, basically telling the stories of the members, it's similar to the Pfister Narrator program, which was the best job ever. So I'm really excited about it. I'm excited to connect with other people who love Milwaukee and are sharing their talents and, spreading love.
That's what was the Pfister project?
Oh, the Pfister. I was the Pfister narrator. So they have an artist in residence program they've had for a long time.
I have a friend who did that too. Nikolai. My friend Nikolai was that too.
Yeah. So it was 2013, a long time ago. But I basically just sat around the lobby and talked to people, and I got to write their stories and share them for the Pfister's blog. And it was a really fun project. So I did that, and now I'm doing something a little similar, but it'll have its own spin at the Milwaukee Athletic Club.
That is so interesting.
So interesting.
So very interesting.
It's so nice when you get a platform because, you know, like writers were always looking for paid work. And so anytime somebody says, like, I have a great platform and I have all these interesting people, you know, it's like, sign me up because, we're just always looking for the next story.
Well, I'll see you at the Mac because I'm a Mac member.
Oh, wow.
Oh, good.
I'll see you there.
Okay.
So just a reminder for everyone, Jenna Cashew is a lifestyle journalist, and she has a new book called Milwaukee Scavenger that you can go buy and enjoy. But then also one more reminder on the contest.
Mm-hmm. Check it out. mkescavenger.com/contest to learn about it through the end of the year. Enter and guess the answers to the clues so you can win a $250 gift card to Sendix.
And who doesn't love Sendix?
Who doesn't love Sendix?
It's just all of the Milwaukee love and the connections.
Yeah, we love highlighting it. I love it.
Anywhere else that people can find you and your work?
Yes. MKE Lifestyle, Milwaukee Magazine, and on the Milwaukee Athletic Club's new updated website later in January.
Awesome. All right. Well, Jenna Cashew, thank you so much for joining us. I'll definitely have to go check out your book, and maybe I'll see you around the back.
Yes. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Have a great day.
Okay, you too. Bye.
All right. So we're going to take another break, but when we come back, Greg has a story that he may have fallen for a bit of a text message scam.
I'm a sucker.
Happens to the best of us. So stick around to hear that story. As always, 844-967-2789 if you have a story about falling for a text scam. you know, again, happens to the best of us. But this is As Goes Wisconsin. Stick around.
2,000 miles from my home, sweet home. 2,000 miles from the arms that bore me. 2,000 miles from my sweet home, Milwaukee. But I keep singing, roll on, Milwaukee Road. Gonna roll in the rain and cold. Do you know this train was born in my mama's dream to be happy? That's so fine. Singing, roll on, Milwaukee Road. Warm up, the tracks are cold. Sweet train, born in my mama's dream to be happy. Get yourself together.
Catch Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow at its brand new time, 6 to 8 a.m. weekdays.
The city of Shanghai started administering an inhalable COVID-19 vaccine. I hear a lot of you saying the same thing I had in my head. I don't know about that.
As long as they're not just crop dusting everyone.
Crop dusting, that's exactly what I think people would be fearful of. I would not trust the Chinese government. I would trust people who really know about inhaling something and the good that it does you. Of course, I'm talking about Dom and Crout.
Did you hear about the vampire that was found? Headline is, skeleton of female, quote, vampire, unearthed at cemetery in Poland.
Listen Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. for As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
A sharp sickle was placed across her neck, and a padlock was put around her big toe. Her burial reveals fear around vampires.
Listen to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry right here on the Shaw, 101 FM and WAUK 540 AM.
Veterans, whatever you're going through, don't wait. Reach out. Find resources at va.gov/reach. That's va.gov/reach. Brought to you by the United States Department of Veterans Affairs and the Ad Council.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. A winter storm warning begins at 9 a.m. this morning and continues until 6 a.m. Saturday morning. Chance of snow overnight, otherwise cloudy skies. Lows dip down to about 20, southeasterly winds 5 to 10 miles an hour. Overcast tomorrow, snow likely 27. 3 to 5 inches of snow overnight through Friday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 27 degrees.
The Shaw 101 FM, Brookfield's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. It is Greg Bach Wednesday, hump day. So yes. Greg is here. Jane Mettner is on the board, per usual. And you texted me last night saying that there was a story you wanted to share with the audience.
Yeah.
And so here's your time to share that story.
So, let's see. Today is Wednesday. This is Monday. Monday, I get a text message. I wake up early. I get woken up by my phone. And just see a text message come through. And it says, the package you delivered is being redirected for another attempt at delivery. Please confirm your information. Click the link on the text. So I'm like, it's like 7:30 in the morning and I'm wiping sleep out of my eyes. So I just click through and I see, oh, it needs to be redelivered. It's going to be $3. Got to put in my credit card information.
And it's the holidays. Yeah, so you're ordering gifts. You're expecting packages.
Wasn't even thinking. Put in my credit card number. Put in the expiration date. Put in the CVV. And put the phone down. That's it. It was a $3. It's a $3 charge. I'm like, yeah, whatever. Lay back down. You text me within, I don't know. It was like 10, 15 minutes. And I go to pick up my phone. And it's still on the screen. And the first thing that happens, my phone says, this has been sent to spam. I'm like, Why is it being sent? Why is it being sent to? Oh my God. So I go into the spam block section of my text messages and I look and I see it's not USPS.gov or .com or .org. It's like USPS308.scammoron. And so I start having a full-blown panic attack. I like yell, oh my God. Luckily, Bridges didn't hear me say that. I explained everything later, calmer. But within 30 seconds, I'm on the phone with Landmark, in line, like three people in front of me on hold.
This is your bank?
My bank, yeah. And then I get in my car. And by the way, it's like 15 degrees. I looked at my phone. I did my glasses. I'm like, oh, it's 35 degrees. I couldn't see straight. It was 15 degrees. So I'm in Crocs, no jacket, in my car, speeding down the road to get to the bank. And the woman finally gets on the phone. She goes, how can I help you? I need to cancel my debit card immediately. Immediately. I screwed up. I'm sorry. So they cut to a very lovely woman named Lexis helping me out from the Landmark member services. Thank you very much. She calmed me down. She laughed with me. Cancel the card. I get to the bank, get a new card. I say, like, are there any charges on the card just to make sure? Because it only been like less than a half an hour, but you never know. I mean, you never know. She goes, there's a charge for $108 to Milwaukee Rec. I'm like, oh no, I don't know that. What is that? Can you take a look? She goes, yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. I was looking at a different card attached to the account. She goes, the last purchase was a Quick Trip last night. I'm like, yeah, that was me. That was completely me. And what's funny is before I was getting ready to tell the story, I just get an email from the Social Security office saying, don't fall for scam text, emails, and phone calls. I am like vigilant with this stuff. I don't take any phone calls unless I recognize the name. Mm-hmm. It's usually scam. Emails, never. I just erase them. This one time, because of Christmas, you weren't vigilant. It wasn't vigilant. I was off my game. And it was wrapped around the idea that I had presents coming via mail. So I was just like, yeah, whatever. It like, did it with such a whatever attitude. And then as soon as I'm like, what are you doing? Were you born today? So people, you're listening out there in radio land, podcast land, TikTok and Instagram land. Make sure those websites are accurate. Don't fall for those scams. Don't be like Greg Bach here. Don't be like Sweaty Greg. You look at those websites and you make sure they're real. They're not going to ask you for certain information. I'm looking at you inside the camera here. Yeah. So, yeah, that's my scam story. I can't believe that happened because, like, I'm like one of those people who count people who do that as idiots.
Oh, I don't.
Oh, I'm like, how could you fall for that? Now I can't. I'm an idiot.
Now you know. I'm one of the idiots. Now you have more empathy.
Yeah.
Hey, I fell for one with our CEO with Sage not too long ago. I get a text as I'm doing the news in the morning, and he needs me to pick up gift cards for I texted back and I'm like, well, what gift cards exactly do you want? And then finally I hear actually from Sage, and I texted the other guy back and I said, well, that was a nice try. Have a good day.
That guy's in the entire company. We all got that one.
Yeah.
But then even just this week, I texted my cousin because I was doing Christmas cards, and I texted my cousin who just recently moved to Eau Claire. And I said, I need your new address. But it was like from Postable, like the copy and paste, send this link and people can easily fill it out. And so it was like, could you fill this out? Click this link for your information. So it looked kind of spammy, but it was coming from my account.
And I got that email from you after the text message. So I'm like, wait a second.
Is Kristen trying to steal my identity?
What's going on here? Is Kristen even real?
But he was very smart. I give him credit. He texted me back and he says, where did we do Thanksgiving this year? Because he wanted to verify that I was a real person, because he admitted that he had just recently had his Instagram account hacked because he fell for it on a different text. I was like, we had it at your parents' church. He goes, yes, that's right. Here's my address.
Question two.
So stay vigilant, folks.
Stay vigilant.
On Apple phones, I feel like the spam unknown numbers get filtered into a different. Well, you don't have an iPhone, so.
I don't have an Android, but.
You don't have access to that feature.
It gets you. So it gets on an Android, at least with mine, it's a Pixel. You get the text message and then it will pop down a little thing that says, was this spam? Then you can put it in, you can block it, and then. Okay. But I answered it so quickly and I didn't look because, like I said, I just woke up. So Google and Android has really good spam blockers. It tells you right away. I just chose to not look at it because I was so tired and I just like, okay, who wants my number?
I need those packages.
I need those packages.
Have your packages started to arrive for Christmas?
Oh, they're almost all here. Oh, well, long story short, Amazon. Okay, Amazon.
What, how quickly they get stuff to you?
Well, no, they send me a thing saying, your package has been lost. So then they're like, all right, ask for a refund. So I asked for a refund. And then they're like, sorry, can't give you a refund. It's on a truck, right? I'm like, well, make up your minds.
All right, well, we're going to take another break. But when we come back, Allison Hayden from Milwaukee Jewish Federation is going to be here. And we're going to talk about lighting the hone for Hanukkah. Stay with us as that goes Wisconsin.
The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK, 540 AM, Waukesha's only news talk station.
CBS News Brief sustained applause today as Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky addresses a joint meeting of Congress, warning about Russia's intentions.
It is just a matter of time when they will strike against your other allies. If we do not stop them now, we must do it.
A powerful winter storm could disrupt holiday travel plans coast to coast. CBS's Chris Van Cleve is at Reagan National Airport in Northern Virginia.
Airlines are poised to cancel thousands of flights.
I have faith that it's going to work out on Thursday morning.
The storm is expected to pummel the Midwest with snow and then a polar plunge in temperature before heading east.
The federal government is releasing Tamiflu doses from the Strategic National Stockpile, says CBS's Major Garrett.
There's been an increased demand for the prescription medication amid a nationwide outbreak of flu and other respiratory illnesses. And in some areas, the generic form of Tamiflu is in short supply.
CBS News Brief, I'm Christopher Cruz.
Join Max Inc. Radio this New Year's Eve as we present live at thespaceship.tv. Max Inc. Radio will broadcast live from the spaceship.tv studios 6 p.m. to midnight, plus live performances from the civil engineers. Linda and the Zeros. Porky's Groove Machine.
Who's there, the Spice Girls? Muy caliente. Oh, they're not hitting.
Live streaming video at thespaceship.tv and live on this civic media station. Let's party New Year's Eve starting at 6 p.m. live from thespaceship.tv. Happy New Year's from Civic Media and Max Inc. Radio. We are local music.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
Governor Tony Evers, Tim Michaels said you had gone, quote, full woke. Dr. Jill Underley said that somebody who says that has no idea what we're doing in schools to make sure kids feel safe.
We want to make sure all kids feel supported. Tim Michaels, we don't teach CRT in our schools. You got to come to the present century here, Tim, and be cognizant of what actually goes in the schools. My guess is he's never been in a public school in Wisconsin.
Up North News Radio with Pat Krylo airs at its new time from 6 to 8 a.m. weekdays across Civic Media.
Listen Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. for As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
It is the Monday after the first Packers game, and I think everyone right now is licking their wounds.
But I do love that you're leading with The Bears Still Suck as the intro song. I mean, we're already on to week two.
Why are we not good at the season opener?
Listen to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry right here on the Shaw 101 FM and WAUK 540 AM.
27% of the American workforce, and some even say 30%, were in unions who had representation and who clearly did not have to worry about whether or not they were going to get their fair share. But I'm definitely going to fight for people who get the short end of the stick in this society only because they don't have representation. That's who I am.
Check out the Earl Ingram Show every day from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. only on WAUK 540 AM 101 FM, The Shaw.
Didn't work.
text and pretend to work. Text and act surprised when someone calls you out for not working.
Who, me?
Text and whatever, just don't text and drive. Visit stoptextsstoprex.org. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
I'm feeling pretty great. Got lockers on my plate. I love this holiday. I love this holiday. And Kislev is the day. Like candles 1 through 8. And a new one every day.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. No matter where you're listening across the Civic Media Network or on the Civic Media app, thank you for tuning in on your lunch hour. If you miss any part of today's show, you can always listen to the podcast, which you can find at asgoeswisconsin.com/listen or wherever you find podcasts, Spotify, Apple, Stitcher. And as always, you can join the conversation at 844-967-2789. And I think it's needless to say, this has not been a great year when it comes to anti-Semitism and the rhetoric, especially thanks to certain public figures, let's say, without spending too much time talking about those public figures. But in response to this rise in anti-Semitism, the Milwaukee Jewish Federation has joined forces with the National Shine a Light Initiative to raise awareness about the rise of anti-Semitism in the country and in Wisconsin. And there's a specific thing that's happening this week for Hanukkah that is so cool. And I saw it last night and I was like, ah, this looks great. So here to talk about that and also just, I think, the stats, the incidents, and maybe even how to address anti-Semitism when you hear it in your life is Allison Hayden, who is the Jewish Federation, the Jewish Community Relations Council Project Manager of the Milwaukee Jewish Federation and a member of the Anti-Defamation League's Midwest Associate Board. And she actively tracks and responds to anti-Semitic incidents in Wisconsin. So welcome to the show, Allison.
Hi, thank you for having me. I'm happy to be here and to talk about what we're doing with the Hone Bridge. So I will dive right in and say we have a program called Hanukkah on the Hone that is part of the National Shine a Light, which is Shine a Light on Anti-Semitism. So as some of you may know, Hanukkah is called the Festival of Lights. And every night of Hanukkah, we light a Hanukkiah or a menorah. And we light a candle for each night for 8 nights. So as a more public way of doing that and just shining a light very visibly in Milwaukee, we are lighting up for the 3rd year now, the Hone Bridge. So if you go and look at the bridge, each night starting on from the right to the left will be one more pillar lit up with a bulb at the bottom to be the flame. So, of course, it's upside down, but if you're looking at it where you can see the water, it actually shows the menorah flipped, and it's, you know, the world's largest upside down menorah. but it is a fun way to bring a little bit of joy and to celebrate our holiday and our, you know, Hanukkah light here in Milwaukee. And the reason that we're doing it, not just because it's pretty and it's very visible, is that there has been a huge rise in anti-Semitism, both nationally as well as here in Wisconsin. And this is a moment that we need to shine a light on that. Each night, you know, we have a speaker from either civic or faith leaders around the community that have sent us a message of support and community to show that this is not just a Jewish issue, that this is really, you know, a national and a community-wide problem, because whenever there's a rise in anti-Semitism, there's inevitably a rise in other forms of hatred and bigotry. As we saw with COVID, there was a rise in anti-Asian and Pacific Islander hate. There's been a rise in LGBTQ plus hate recently with the shooting in Colorado and all sorts of Islamophobic, anti-immigrant. All of those forms are tied together, and often we call anti-Semitism the canary in the coal mine, because a lot of white supremacy and hate groups that really play into anti-Semitic theories also really perpetrate a lot of other bigotry and hatreds towards groups. So this is our opportunity to say that, you know, anti-Semitism didn't start or end with the Holocaust. It's a very real issue that Jews are still dealing with today. And as of just the past audit that was done nationally of anti-Semitic incidents, one in four Jews said that they experienced some sort of anti-Semitic hate in the past year. And we only make up 2% of the population in the U.S., but it's was still exponentially targeted for being Jewish. Nationally, the Anti-Defamation League does an incident reporting, and they saw an increase of 34% in 2021. They're still calculating for 2022, and that's the highest on record since they started tracking in 1979. And we've seen equal increases here in Wisconsin as well.
So what, because this is part of your job, is this audit. And so, because sometimes I think the blanketed term incident, or even an all-encompassing word like racism or anti-Semitism, it's like what gets counted as an incident? And so, because I'd imagine that something that, There's microaggressions and just the language that we use, and there's also like violence and property damage and swastikas being painted on things. And so when you say that there's a rise in incidents, what is counted as that?
Yeah, so great question. It's a wide variety of things, and it does range. We have categories when we do our own audit of anti-Semitic incidents in Wisconsin, and we do separate out categories that are things like expressions, that's people posting on social media, side comments, you know, things like that would sometimes be microaggressions or just a one-off comment. And then we also have a category for discrimination, especially like in workplaces, category for hate group activity. Some of you may have seen earlier this year, there was a lot of flyers from a hate group that were distributed throughout Kenosha. So that's something we track as a separate group. And then, you know, threats and harassments and assault as a more violent outtick of anti-Semitism, and then vandalism. So they all get counted as incidents, but we do in the audits separate out those categories. So you can really see what areas have increased. So general feelings and expressions of anti-Semitism have indeed gone up, but so have actual threatening or harassment type incidents as well. So an incident for us does not necessarily mean it's something that would be counted as a hate crime, for example. So a lot of national data, like the FBI's hate crime statistics, is very much only about if a criminal offense has happened. What we count is a wider group of incidents, because we're looking for a snapshot of what people's just general anti-Semitic beliefs and experiences of the Jewish community here in Wisconsin covers. And even something that's just a side comment using, you know, very negative or anti-Semitic stereotypes or saying that Jews control the media may not directly be as threatening as someone, you know, attacking a synagogue or threatening a person. But all of those basis comments and those unconscious bias really add up. And once you've normalized saying those, they can lead to worse things. So knowing where we stand with those kind of ideas helps us get a better idea of where we need to reach out in the community. Absolutely. And what we need to look at.
Absolutely. We're talking to Allison Hayden, who is from the Milwaukee Jewish Federation. And part of her job is tracking and responding to anti-Semitic incidents in Wisconsin. And I think one of the... because of the nuance of like with the language and what you were just saying, and I've heard it explained before. I don't think I'm qualified to explain it, but like in that sentiment alone, like the Jews can, the quote, I'm saying this in quotes, Jews control the media. How would you explain to someone who, when, if they were to respond with, well, why is that anti-Semitic? Like, why is that anti-Semitic?
Yeah. For someone like myself who is deeply ingrained in understanding and knowing this, it, you know, things that I see as obvious are obviously not so obvious. And oftentimes people spread things unknowingly. And the reason why it's anti-Semitic is because it's perpetrating and spreading tropes and conspiracy theories about the Jewish community. So that has been, you know, since there were a lot of Jews that work in Hollywood, because we were not allowed to participate in a lot of mainstream media at first when you know, movies and shows started to be produced, Hollywood was created because we were pushed out of spaces and we created ourselves. But because there's, you know, a lot of Jews there, people say, oh, that must mean it's controlled by the Jews. And if you think that Hollywood's controlled by the Jews, then you'll go on to think that, oh, well, the media is controlled by, and then that'll go on to be like, well, then that also means the banks, and that means that the, you know, the government. And it derives from a sense of ignorance that people can spread this, but it creates a delusional view of Jews as this nefarious monolith that is out to cause problems in society. So saying Jews own the media is just not true. There may be Jews, there may be people in power who are Jewish, but there is not a monolithic Jews as a whole that control things. And that's kind of where the basis of it is, because mm-hmm. once you really like other the Jews into that single organism and say, you know, Jews do this, Jews do that, Jews control or manipulate this, it really demonizes us, and it creates that next step to be able to other and separate out the Jewish community and believe more and more conspiracies and tropes and negative things against the Jewish community.
Ellison, we had a caller at 844-967-2789 who wanted to know if you had a reaction to the New York Times crossword puzzle that ran earlier this week.
Not good.
Yeah.
If you can explain that to people who may not have seen it, please.
Yeah. So one of my friends sent it to me because I don't see the New York Times. But on the first day of Hanukkah, they ran their crossword puzzle, and you know, in a crossword puzzle, it has the black spaces that make up the where no letters go. And in this case, when you look directly at it, it makes a swastika. And sometimes I know the swastika is not always invoking the Nazis and Germany, Hitler's era, but this one specifically was on its side and going to the right, which is the design used by the Nazis. So it felt intentional, even if it wasn't intentional. Mm-hmm. And it's the thought that so many people probably had to look at this before it was published, and nobody thought to ask a question, and or nobody thought to look at it and wonder, does that look kind of suspicious? Is that so, like, even if it wasn't done with ill intent, the people who want to see swastika, they want to see things supporting their hateful views, will see it and be like, oh, great. I mean, New York Times put out a swastika. What wonderful news. But obviously, to the Jewish community, we'll see it as a, this went through so many people and nobody noticed that it was a swastika. Well,
And it's a good point as far as when it's the New York, it's one thing for As Goes Wisconsin, if we publish something on social media that wasn't double-checked, because there's not a lot of us. But having a friend who has been published in the New York Times and him talking about what the editing process is and how many people have to read something before it gets published in the paper or in the website, you're right in how many people had to see that and didn't see it, which is shocking.
Yeah, I was definitely shocked, and so were many of my friends. And, you know, it just, the coincidence that it was the first night of Hanukkah just goes to show you that things that the Jewish community are concerned about, we're often told, is we're overreacting on stuff. And there is such thing as like blowing up small things, but I think ignoring them or just brushing them under and say, well, this is not that bad, so we shouldn't worry about it, allows it to be more normalized. And once people are desensitized to little things because they said, well, it's not bad enough to worry about, it builds up until mm-hmm. suddenly, you know, the Tree of Life Synagogue was attacked, and then it was bad enough.
Yeah, exactly.
And so it's little things build.
So we're going to take a break really quickly, but when we come back, two questions I want to talk about is kind of addressing what Jon Stewart's reaction was to Dave Chappelle's SNL monologue, because in the context of how do you, even as a non-Jewish person, fight or stand up against anti-Semitic rhetoric, and how do we have these conversations? And then also I want to just ask, as far as like, what joyful part of Judaism do you want to spread and want people to know? So we'll talk about both of those things when we come back with Allison Hayden from the Milwaukee Jewish Federation. Stick around.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
Hey, this is Jim Santel. I am the host of Morning Cannolis. Every single Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., we talk about the major stories in law, in government, and the aspiration for justice in America. Delighted to have you join, call in, and be a part of our discussion right here on the networks of Civic Media.
I feel like all the women we have on our show, like our co-hosts, always get too famous for us. And then
I would just like to think that we are fertile ground from which they can blossom. We are the manure from which they spring.
The manure from which they spring. I was going to say holding fort, but I think your metaphor is way better.
Up North News Radio with Pat Krylo airs at its new time from 6 to 8 a.m. weekdays across Civic Media.
Here's today's STEM tip. Don't throw out that old plastic bottle. Repurpose it by turning it into an awesome terrarium. Just fill it with sand, pebbles, soil, and your favorite plant. It'll grow sealed right in its own ecosystem. Learn more at SheCanSTEM. A message from the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. A winter storm warning begins at 9 a.m. this morning and continues until 6 a.m. Saturday morning. Cloudy overnight with a chance for snow. Lows around 20. Southeasterly winds 5 to 10 miles an hour. Overcast tomorrow. Snow likely. High of 27. 3 to 5 inches of snow overnight through Friday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 28 degrees.
The Shaw 101 FM, your fix for progressive talk. From Big Bend to Menominee Falls. Always streaming at WAUKradio.com.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. Our guest this half hour is Allison Hayden from the Milwaukee Jewish Federation. And we're talking about Hanukkah on the Hone, and also the unfortunate rise of anti-Semitism. And as far as someone who, I'm sure there's parts of your job that are very depressing, because this is part of your job is to track incidents of anti-Semitism in Wisconsin, which sounds not fun. But also, like, how do you, for the conversation around how do we stop, how do we reverse this trend? And so much of the narrative this year, I think, has been around Kanye West and then Dave Chappelle. And again, the language used sometimes, and sometimes in the name of comedy, sometimes, you know, and this is, and I don't think that's probably the only theory as to why there's been a rise of this, but it is a very public one. And I've yet to talk to with Greg or anyone on the show of Jon Stewart, one of my idols as far as how someone uses comedy to talk about the news. And his, what I took away from his kind of reaction to Dave Chappelle's SNL sketch or monologue was this rhetoric is happening in comment sections everywhere. And in what we were saying, like the anti-Semitism comments. And so we have to be talking about it because it's happening in the shadows anyways. And so we need to bring it to light. And I care less about if you agree with him or not, but more about the question is like, is that the first step is having more conversations and even putting a name to it?
Yeah. So that's a great, there was a lot of controversy even just about the monologue and yes. A lot of debate in the Jewish community. So to touch briefly on comment section and tie it back to the Hanukkah on the Hone, the National Shine a Light, when we asked, what do we do if we have anti-Semitic comments on our social media during this, they said, leave them because it only shines a light more on why we're bringing this issue up. And so if you go to their YouTube channel, their videos are a cesspool of very negative and hateful comments. I don't recommend it if you're having a bad day.
Yeah.
And I do agree with that to an extent, because you know, people will say whatever they say, and we're not necessarily here to punish people. What we're here for is educating people. Whenever I say, why do I do the audit of anti-Semitism? Why don't I publicize who these people are? I say, I'm not here to make them pay for what they said, to punish them for oftentimes things they've said in ignorance or misinformation that they've received, because that will only make things worse. When all you do is, you know, fire somebody, cut them out entirely, it will only make them more bitter, more angry, more likely to believe the ideas that, you know, they have been espousing. And instead, it should be taken as a moment for education. There should be a statement sometimes or some sort of public denouncement of what was said, but oftentimes it's better to handle these incidents by one-on-one or as a group, like reaching out to the person who said this and saying, listen, this came off really insulting. This was really insensitive to the Jewish community, or, you know, this is why we were upset by it. Can we please have a conversation? Sometimes things are said that go too far. Mm-hmm. Obviously, if someone's going to be out there saying you should kill the Jews like that, that's not someone that's going to have a conversation, and there will be extremes. But only 18% or so of national incidents are perpetrated by people who would be ascribed to a hate group. Most are everyday people that just are misinformed or believe kind of, you know, tropes or conspiracies that they've heard. And to stop anti-Semitism, it's more about the ripple effect outward than being able to like cut it off. If you can instead have conversations, if you can educate people, if you can build bridges with people, you are more likely to slow the spread of anti-Semitism, bigotry, all forms of hate, versus if you just censor everything and cut everything out. Do I believe people should be allowed to just go on to say the Milwaukee Jewish Federation and say tons of negative things and, you know, threaten us? No, absolutely not. And I think those things should not be allowed to spread, and because it perpetrates hateful and dangerous rhetoric. But I think oftentimes immediately shutting someone down is not helpful in this case, because a lot of anti-Semitism and other hates derives its power from just ignorance of the lived realities of, you know, in my case, Jewish people, in other cases, other minority groups. And it's much easier to demonize and caricaturize people if you don't know anything about them. So what I always instruct is that if possible, if you're looking at, you know, social media, you're watching the news and you're seeing one more incident of bigotry, hate, anti-Semitism, and you're saying, what can I do? Well, you can get to know people. Like, go out in your community, go meet somebody, go, you know, to a program that's community-wide and understand what your neighbors are like. Not everybody, you know, lives in your echo chamber, and oftentimes our social media especially filters an echo chamber. But go out there and meet someone who looks, lives, prays, loves differently than you. And that, you know, once you get to know someone, you realize the similarities and the differences, and you can appreciate people for who they are and what their different practices are. And once I've had people, when I do presentations about who are the Jews, what is Judaism, I've had people say that they've never really met a Jewish person, or they just have questions because they've never had the opportunity. And just being open and understanding that there may be some misinformation, there may be some ignorance, there may be some confusion, but automatically shutting that down is only going to let that spread. So taking that opportunity to instead say, let's talk about why do you think that? Why did you say that? And taking that moment can really be a positive way to slow that down.
Absolutely. Well, to end on a high note, what are some of the joyful aspects of Judaism and Jewish culture that you wish more people knew?
I mean, we have so many fun and like happy practices, like the people online can't see it, but behind me I have two menorahs because my some of my Jewish staff members want to light candles every day. And I have dreidels, so we'll play with dreidels later and eat sufganiyot, which are jelly-filled donuts and latkes. And we'll take this moment to, like, yeah, we're shining a light on anti-Semitism with this, but we're also just shining a light in darkness because, you know, that sense of community that I get from the Jewish community is honestly one of the best parts about being Jewish, is that I always feel supported. I always feel like I have a community that loves to get together and celebrate when we can. And so Hanukkah's, you know, there's depressing things happen, but we have this bright moment in this dark, the winter solstice, darkest day of the year, literally. And I think that's the best, is that we find so many reasons to be together as a community and find reasons to thrive and, you know, wear the story of resilience.
Absolutely. Well, we'll link all of the information for Hanukkah on the Hone so you can check it out either in person or on the website. Allison Hayden, thank you so much for taking time to educate us and spend time with us today. Happy Hanukkah, and hopefully see you soon. All right, this is As Goes Wisconsin. We'll take another break.
Work, the kids' practices, household errands. Seems like every hour's rush hour at our house. But no matter how busy things get, we still make balanced nutrition a priority with help from Country Hearth Natural Breads. Whole grains and other natural ingredients are carefully blended and baked into delicious, nutritious breads like Dakota-style 12-grain, multi-grain, and 100% whole wheat. There's a Country Hearth favorite for everyone in the family. Country Hearth Breads, baking our best for you.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
I asked what kind of family she wanted. She said, a family like yours.
Learn more about adopting a teen at AdoptUSKids.org. You can't imagine the reward. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, always streaming on the Civic Media app.